As a scripture lesson, I have chosen to read this morning the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Psalm 23. My name is Terry Farrell. Terry is from Terence, Latin meaning polished one. That sure doesn't fit. But Farrell is from Gallic meaning fear plus gallantry. I think that describes me pretty good, because it's got both of them in there. But this is my name, and those are the meanings of my name. I brought this little book on understanding what names mean, and most all of us, our names mean something. But today I want to talk about the divine name and its titles. Besides my name, I have titles. I am a son. I am a brother. I am a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. I am a preacher, an antique dealer. I'm called an antiquarian, a historian, theologian. There are a lot of different things, but all of us have a name, and then we have titles. And so it is with our God. He has a personal name, and then he has titles. But today I want to especially notice them as they occur in the Psalms, because this is a part of our consideration of the book of the Psalms. God's personal name is Jehovah. That's how most people say it. But actually it's spelled YHWH in Hebrew. There are no vowels, just consonants. And the closest pronunciation we can come to it is Yahweh. So if you say, well, God has a name, what is his name? His name is Yahweh. I'm corresponding with a young man, and one of his first questions, well, why do we call Jesus Jesus? Because there's no J in Hebrew or Greek. And he was right. There's none. And so as a result, why we call him Jehovah when there's really no J in Hebrew, this is a kind of a place where they said, well, we'll take these consonants and we'll add vowels, and this is what we came up with. And his name, the nearest we can say it, is Yahweh. And this is his personal name, and it really is used in the scripture a good bit, mainly in relation to him as the covenant maker, when we find it. One of only four places in the Hebrew Scriptures where God's name is transliterated is in the 83rd Psalm. Transliterating means to take the Hebrew letters and actually transfer them to English. And this 83rd Psalm, the 18th verse, let them be confounded and troubled forever, yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, or Yahweh, art the Most High over all the earth. And Most High is Elyon. So here we have another one. This is one of his titles, which we'll notice more later. But there are only four places that the translators carried his name over into English. There are hundreds and even thousands of times that the translators translated his name, Lord. And we know that this is incorrect. That's like saying, your name is Terry, but I'm just going to call you Mister. Your name is Terry, but I'm just going to call you Lord. That's like saying, God, your name is Yahweh, but we'll just call you Lord. But really, they should have transferred his name in all the places so that when we look at the Hebrew Old Testament, we'll know what is used. They did do this. And I've told you this before, I'll tell you again, that wherever you see the word Lord or the word God, all capital letters in the Old Testament, it is the word Yahweh in the original. So as you're going along and you say, it says, O Lord, and the Lord is all capital letters, that is God's name, Yahweh. And this is done hundreds and even thousands of times in the Hebrew Scriptures. I got thinking about this. I've been working on this message a long time, and I got thinking about one of the reasons they may have done this is that the Jews will not use God's name. You will never hear a Jew say Yahweh or Jehovah. They go back to the 10 in which it says, you shall not take the name of your Lord your God in vain, Jehovah your God in vain. And therefore, they're afraid to use it, afraid that they will use it in vain. So in many places, even in the Scriptures, over 120 places, they changed the name Yahweh to Adonai, which is the generic name for Lord. So anyway, even in the Shema, which the Jews repeat so many times in their services and in their own private devotions, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. But the original there is Yahweh. We, as Christians, are not afraid to use God's name. We should say Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jehovah, Yahweh, God, is one. But I think that one of the reasons the translators may have done that is because of that background of the Jews not using God's personal name. So as a result, they put it Lord in all places. When you go into the meaning of Yahweh, it means the self-existent one, the eternal. In fact, this is not in the Psalms, but it's in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. You all remember when Moses was in the wilderness and he was on the mount and he saw the burning bush and he went over to investigate. God talked to him and called him to go and deliver his people. And when Moses was going on with this, when God had asked him to do this, he began to have difficulties. And the first one was, who am I? Well, I'm only one. The second one was in verse 13 of the 3rd chapter of Exodus. When I go to the people, shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? There's more than just what is he called. It is, what is his fame? What is his mighty power? But anyway, they said, what is his name? So God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Well, I am here is in the Hebrew an oddity, but it says Ayah Asher Ayah, which means I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. And but it goes on though to actually, as you follow this, in the next verse, God said moreover to Moses, 15, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord, here's all caps, Yahweh, God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. So he did not leave it to doubt here by saying, well, I am sent you, the Eternal sent you. But he said, My name is Yahweh. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tell them that I sent you." So this was the answer to Moses' second difficulty. If they ask what his name is, this is what you will say to him. If we were to try to explain Yahweh, the Eternal, it would be a lot like a revelation where he said, "I was, I am, I will be." He that was and is to come. This is, in other words, he's always been, he is now, and he will always be. There never was a time when he was not. There never will be a time when he will not be. I can't conceive of that because I have a finite mind. It has measures and weights and years and days and minutes and seconds. But this is what he has told us, that he is infinite with no measures and at all. So Yahweh, God of your fathers, sent me to you, and this is my name forever. The thing that I point out to people is that his name is not used of any other. In other words, this is not a name that can be spread around. Yes, some of his titles are, like Lord, and even the word God is used of others. In fact, God said to Moses, "I've made you a God to Pharaoh." But the name Yahweh is not used in a promiscuous or casual way. It always refers to the one true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God. So the one of the things about the Psalms I found very interesting, there are two of his so-called Jehovah titles in these Psalms. One of them is Yahweh Elyon. This is in the 7th Psalm, and there at the 17th verse. He said, "I will praise Yahweh according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of Yahweh Most High, Yahweh Elyon." So this is what Elyon means, is the Most High. You can only have only one Almighty. You can have only one Most High. And Yahweh is that. And in our scripture lesson, the 23rd Psalm, this is another one of the so-called Jehovah titles. Yahweh is my shepherd. This is Yahweh Roi, R-O-I. And there are others, Jehovah is your righteousness. I am, when Abraham offered Isaac and the ram was caught in the thicket, I am the Lord that provides. I am the Lord your banner. I am the Lord your righteousness. All of these are where they use Yahweh in combination with other titles to come up with these titles. The thing that they do is that they explain more and more to us about what our God is. And isn't this a lovely thought, to think that God is a shepherd? I have had the occasion, in fact, when Orpha and I first married, we moved to Minnesota, and Orpha's mother had about 13 sheep. She had a big buck and about 12 ewes, and they had a bank barn, and it gets cold in Minnesota. So in this bank barn, the hay mow above had all the hay, but down below, as you looked at the front of the barn, you had chickens, then you had cows, then you had sheep. They didn't have any pigs, but anyway, the sheep were there, and they did not have water in the barn. This was a long time ago, so we had to let them out and run water for them to drink and so forth. But one of the things that was wonderful. I was around at lambing time and got to see the lambs. And typical in the Midwest, they threshed grain and left piles of straw. And those little lambs, when they got bigger, they would climb that pile of straw and slide down it just like kids. It was just so much fun to walk them. But one of the things I found, you do not drive sheep. You lead sheep. And if they don't know you, they won't follow you. But if you can come and they know you, they will come. So we would lead them out, water them, and when it was time to go back in, come. And you'd go back into the barn, and they would follow you into the barn. So to picture, and they're a gentle animal. They're an innocent animal. They're a dumb animal in a way, because they will follow the leader off of a cliff if their leader falls. But anyway, it's wonderful things that God is our shepherd. We are his sheep. He cares for us. He leads us beside still waters. He leads us to green pastures. He goes with us to the valley of the shadow of death. And there are all of these different things that are wonderful about Yahweh Roi, Jehovah, our shepherd. And all of these, as I said, many of the occurrences help us to see what God is to us. And he is many-faceted. He is wonderful in so many ways. So whenever you come across this word Jehovah, or Lord all caps, or God all caps, you're talking about Yahweh, the self-existent one, the eternal. Moffat, in his translation, translates Yahweh eternal in every instance. Another name, and this is Yah, which seems strange to us, but this is an abbreviation of Yahweh and is used 49 times. And it really does not just indicate Yahweh again, but in the first occurrence of it in Exodus 15, it talks about Yah becoming our salvation. That's Exodus 15:2. Yahweh is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So here the word Lord, all caps, is the word Yah, but it is still God's name and not a title. And one time in the Psalms, the 68th Psalm, this word Yah is actually carried over into the Scriptures. And that is the 68th Psalm and the 4th verse. This is, again, the translators use the word J, the letter J, even though there's no letter J in the Hebrew Scriptures. 68:4. I have thin pages, I'm sorry. I have time with this new Bible. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. So here we're still in the Psalms. We have his name, Yahweh and Yah, but then we have other titles besides his name. The most outstanding one and used most of all is the Hebrew word Elohim. And this is a general word for anything that is worshipped. In fact, Genesis 1:1, in beginning, Elohim created. Elohim is a plural word of Eloah, but it does not indicate three any more than geese. Being plural means three geese. But anyway, it is used 2,470 times in the Hebrew Scriptures. And so it is a very common title being used for God. It has to do with him as creator and sustainer, and the one that we worship. In fact, if you get deeply into the study of the Bible and get dealing with the critics, you will find that in Genesis 1:1, The only word for God used is Elohim up to the third verse of the second chapter. Go ahead and look at chapter 1. Every time the word God is used over and over, but it's the word Elohim. And all the way up to the third verse of the second chapter. Then, beginning with the fourth verse of the second chapter, it says, Yahweh Elohim. In other words, it's using the two of them together. You see how they're used all the way through. And they're used this way up through 3:23. Used over and over. Yahweh Elohim. The critics try to tell us this meant that there were two different authors of Genesis. There was an Elohistic author, and there was a Yahwehistic author. I do not accept that. My spin on starting out calling him Elohim, anything that's worshipped, and then finally saying Yahweh Elohim is this old teaching method of proceeding from the known to the relative unknown. Everybody in New Hebrew would know what Elohim was. That's anything that's worshipped. Gods, goddesses, true gods, false gods, anything that's worshipped. But then he identifies this superpower, this thing that is worshipped, they're identifying this as Yahweh. And from then on, he uses them both ways. But in those two instances, you'll find in searching the scriptures that this is how these words are used. Elohim alone through Genesis 2:3 and Yahweh Elohim through 3:23, and then after that, both. Elohim, then, as we said, is a kind of a general term for deity, anything that is worshipped. And but we know that the God of this universe, the true God of this universe, is Yahweh. That is his name. He's not just a superpower. He's not just a power. He's not just a spirit. He's not just a nothing. He is Yahweh, our personal God. So we here this was Moses' way of identifying God as Yahweh by going from a general term to a particular term. Another one of his titles is El, E-L, meaning the Mighty One. And in Psalm 63, our emphasis is on the Psalms. So in the 63rd Psalm, there at the first verse, we read, O Elohim, thou art my El. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So I've given you the Hebrew words here. The first word God is Elohim, and the second word God is El, meaning the Mighty One. And it's interesting because this title of God is used in many words. All of us are familiar with Bethel. Bethel Church, Bethel, means house of God. Israel, E-L, means prince of God or ruling with God. So over and over, whenever you see that E-L at the end of a word, that's what it means. The prince of God. This is one of, it means mighty one. It's one of God's titles. On over, we have already mentioned Adonai. It's Adon, Adonim. These are all different words that are used as titles of God. There is one psalm, the 86th, where Adonai is used a great many times. The 86th psalm, and it may be confusing, but Yahweh is used, but also the Adonai is used. You notice in the 86th psalm, bow down thine ear, O Yahweh, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Thou art my Elohim. Be merciful unto me, Oh, Adonai. See, the Lord is not all capitalized. For I cry unto thee, rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Adonai, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Adonai, art good and ready to forgive. Give ear, O Yahweh, unto my prayer. And verse 8, none like unto thee, O Adonai. And down on here, the 15th verse and the 12th verse, they use the word Adonai again. It means Lord or Master. So here he is saying, Yahweh, my eternal Elohim, or also my Master, my Adonai. So just like I, Terry, have different titles, Yahweh our God has different titles, and this one, in this instance, has the meaning of Master or Lord. Another very interesting one that is in the 91st Psalm is El Shaddai, and the word Almighty comes from this. Psalm 91:1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, Elyon, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai. A lot of people use that word. In fact, I've heard it in songs. I've heard it used a great deal that people are talking about this. But here it is, all it's saying is God is Almighty. And He is able to supply all our needs. Just like Genesis 17 said, that He is the one who can supply all our needs. This we believe. In fact, I have many times said, and it's true, that God has placed enough food on this earth to care for every living thing. But the whole thing, of course, we know, is the problem of distribution. When the 17th of Genesis, the first verse, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee. And he went on to talk about how he should go into the land he would show him, but he would provide for him in every way through his great covenant. So these are just our different titles that occur in the Psalms and other places in the Hebrew Scriptures that are added to our God, Yahweh. There are others, like the 68th Psalm, where it uses the word Father. I think this is wonderful. He said, as a father pieth his children. And goes on and uses other places in the Psalms. It's just not in the New Testament that God is brought out and expressed as being a father. But we see Him as a father a little better because we can understand Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, in this father-son relationship. But nevertheless, even in the Psalms, He is called our Father. And summing up, there is but one true God. He is Yahweh. The Muslims say there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His prophet. I want to write on the side of our building, there is no God but Yahweh, and Jesus is His Son, prophet, priest, and king. I'd like to publish that. I'd like to herald that, let people know that in this world of billions of Muslims that we worship a God whose name is Yahweh, and there is no other God but He. But He, besides His personal name that we are emphasizing today, we know that He is everything to us, emphasized by His titles as Creator, Sustainer, Guide, and Shepherd, Father, Almighty, and all these other words that are used as titles for Him. So the thing for us to do is through what we're able to read, even as in these Psalms, is to get to know Him and to love Him. As Moses went on to say after giving the Shema, Hear, O Israel. He said, you shall love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your might. And that is the thing that is the challenge to us, to as we know him, is to love him and to give him our heart and to give him our service and our strength. God bless us and thank you.